Welcome to Life Perspectives on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm your host, Gary Anderson. St. John Paul II in Evangelium Vitae proclaimed that society as a whole must respect, defend, and promote the dignity of every human person at every moment and in every condition of that person's life. And with that as our guide star, this show covers life issues across the entire spectrum of life, from conception all the way to natural death. Every month, Life Perspectives presents a broad overview of the many critical issues of the pro-life movement in 2021 and beyond. And as always, our guest today is a representative of a prominent pro-life organization. A little bit of a different twist today, however. But they are engaged in the cause for life and the defense of the sanctity of every human life, born and unborn. And we're so delighted to have with us this afternoon Mr. Mark Huddy, Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns at the Diocese of Columbus. Mark is a Columbus native. He earned a BA in English from The Ohio State University and a Juris Doctorate from the University of Cincinnati. He and his wife live in Pataskala with their four kids, and they're members of St. Matthew the Apostle Parish in Gahanna. Welcome to Life Perspectives, Mr. Mark Huddy.
Thank you, Gary. It's great to be here.
I can't tell you how excited we are to have you here. But before we begin, as we always do, we're going to do our pro-life prayer, if we may. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Father, we pray that those working to defend the sanctity of human life would be steadfast and immovable in their holy mission to protect all of your children in the various stages of the spectrum of life, from conception to natural death. May your servants who labor in the defense of life abound in your work and know that their labor is not in vain. We pray that they would extend compassion, empowerment, and hope to all they serve, and that you would guide them and provide for all their wants and needs. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Well, again, Mark, I'm very, very pleased you took the time out from your schedule. I know how busy you are down there at the diocese, but I wanted to tell you something as we record this, by the way, on September 30th. A little story I want to share with you. Several weeks ago, 6:40 a.m. Mass, St. Paul, Westerville, Father P.J. Brandimardi gets up into the ambo to do his short homily. Of course, a weekday 6:40 Mass, it better be short. He's been warned by Father Wilson. The first thing out of his mouth is, "My brothers and sisters, I want to share some bad news with you. It's hard for me to tell you this." Of course, we're all sitting there wondering, oh my gosh, who died? But then he proceeds to tell us that his boss, your boss, our beloved shepherd, Bishop of Columbus, Bishop Brennan, was being transferred or appointed the 8th Bishop of Brooklyn, New York. You talk about knocking us over with a feather. Did you see that coming?
No, I did not see that coming. You know, we say in our office many times that every day is a surprise. However, that particular day was the biggest surprise we've had in a long time.
Oh my gosh.
Bishop Brennan has been such an incredible gift to us in
yes.
the diocese. And so it is with a heavy heart that we let him go.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that God's plans are always good plans. And he has plans for us in this diocese and good plans for Bishop Brennan in the Diocese of Brooklyn.
Amen. And, you know, looking back, too, it's amazing the impact that he's had just in what? A little over 2.5 years.
That's
as,
correct.
As our shepherd. Such a pastoral man of the people. I mean, most of us pick that up immediately. I'm sure especially people like you, you know, rubbing elbows with him on a daily basis down there at the Catholic Center and the Chancery. But what a wonderful bishop he's been. I'm sure they're excited to have him back in the New York area, having come from Rockville Center a few years ago. But how might that affect, if at all, the Real Presence, Real Future campaign that's underway now?
Well, I think Bishop Brennan has put in a structure that will allow that campaign to continue and the process to continue. So we are at that point where we're now in the parish consultations, as you know, and those are ongoing right now. And because there's a structure, because there's a process, because there's consultants and other people in the diocese involved, I am confident that process will have a successful completion.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was watching his video that he put out soon after, and you could tell it was heartfelt. He did not want to leave Columbus at this point, at this stage. He really sincerely enjoyed it here.
So. You know, there was a line, he did a press conference in the Diocese of Brooklyn, and the one line that caught me that he said, you know, there he did speak about his heavy heart in leaving Columbus. He said, but there was one bright spot. He says, the people here, the people in Brooklyn, speak correctly.
That's great. That's great. Now, that's not the only change you've been dealing with personally.
That's correct.
Because a short while before that, you lost your nearly 30-year, maybe 25-year director of the Office of Social Concerns down at the diocese, Jerry Freewald. In fact, we had Jerry in here, Mark, mm-hmm. about a year ago, talking about Respect Life Month. And he's moved on. I guess he can look at that as a pretty good promotion to the Catholic Conference of Ohio.
I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, I think Jerry is very skilled and has everything necessary to do an excellent job for all of the bishops in Ohio. So I hate, like the Dickens, to lose him.
But I
know he's going to do great work for the whole state and for all the bishops of Ohio. Jerry, of course, functioned as director of the Office for Social Concerns, mm-hmm. but also mm-hmm. functioned as the Respect Life Director.
Yes.
Now, in our office, we have two other people, myself as the moderator of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns, and Associate Director Aaron Cordell. And all three of us have been involved for years and years in aspects of the Respect Life program. But Jerry took the lead, and one of the new skills I've had to learn, which I was not necessarily particularly skilled at a month ago, is sending out our constant contact action alerts.
Right.
So fortunately, Jerry gave me a tutorial before he left, and I have been able to get them out, not with the same graphic beauty that Jerry would put in them, but we've gotten them out.
Now, those are separate from the ones that are sent out by the USCCB, correct?
Yes, that's
okay,
correct.
So I was going to talk about those coming up here shortly.
We have our own information and response network.
Mm-hmm.
So about 654 folks that have signed up. And if there are listeners out there that would like to sign up, send us a message at socmailbox@columbuscatholic.org. And let us know that you'd like to be on that list, and we'll be happy to get you there.
Could you repeat that URL again, Mark?
Sure. It's socmailbox@columbuscatholic.org.
Great, great. So is it safe to assume you're wearing multiple hats now with Jerry's departure until you find his successor?
It's true.
Yep.
So, yes. And, you know, Jerry also had another role. Jerry was involved as the rural life director for our diocese. In a diocese of 23 counties, you know, a good portion of that is actually rural. And Bishop Brennan has been very good at sponsoring rural life masses.
I've seen the photos, yeah.
At the springtime and in the harvest time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another area that I'm filling in the gap.
Speaking of which, it seems like the bishop really enjoys that, getting out into the country.
He enjoys being with the people. I think that's been one of the remarkable things about, you know, Bishop Brennan being here is he's, you know, I'm sure you've noticed this, Gary. Any event you go to, he's there.
Oh, yeah.
And he really loves being with the people.
And not to overlook the tremendous asset he's been here to our Hispanic community.
Absolutely.
In the Diocese of Columbus with his fluent Spanish and his love of that community.
You know, our celebration last year for the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe was a beautiful celebration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, had the nuncio here for and a representative from Catholic Relief Services, and there was a beautiful, beautiful mass.
Okay. Now, before we get into the actual topic today, the Respect Life Month, I thought maybe we ought to bring our listeners up to date on some news in the pro-life arena. Now, back last summer, there was legislation introduced into the Ohio House, as of today, again, September 30th, this Abortion Pill Reversal Information Act has still not been moved on. It's still on hold, correct? Now, that would build on existing informed consent laws that would require abortion facilities to inform women with chemical abortions that they possibly can be reversed. Where do we stand on that, Mark? Any other?
Well, just a couple things I would say about that. First of all, that bill has been referred to the House Health Committee. That happened on September 16th. So that's the first step in actually having action on a bill. There'll be hearings, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good news. This bill is similar to a bill that was introduced in May of 2019. Unfortunately, that bill, while passed by the Senate, never emerged from the House committee it was assigned to. So we'll see what happens here. I know that at the time that was introduced in 2019, and there was a press conference on that particular bill, I know there was a representative of the conference at that press conference, but I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Right.
I can't speak because the bishops have not yet taken a position on that bill as introduced this year.
It is so critically important when you look at the fact that chemical abortions now are the primary form of abortion. Surgical abortions have really dramatically dropped off. So if we can stem that tide,
absolutely,
women who actually do take that step and reverse the effects, this act, I think, can play a vital role. Now, nationally, we've seen some monumental happenings as well. That was announced not too long ago that in President Biden's proposed 2022 budget, he is dropping the Hyde Amendment, which is shocking. That's been in every federal budget, as you know, since 1976, prohibiting funding of abortion, your federal tax dollars through Medicaid. And all of a sudden, this is being dropped in the proposed 2022 budget. What are you hearing about the odds of that ever coming to fruition? I can't imagine it's going to get through the Senate.
Well, you know, the things that we couldn't imagine a year ago, we might be closer to imagining. I hope that's not the case. I know that the USCCB, the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops, has done a huge effort of trying to promote advocacy on that particular issue. So what we know at this point is the House passed a budget resolution at the 24th of August, and in that resolution, the Hyde Amendment was not part of it. The Senate actually passed a budget resolution on August the 10th, and the Senate, after a long night of deliberation, introduced an amendment. The amendment was introduced by Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma, and that restored essentially Hyde and Weldon Amendment protections in the Senate version of the budget
bill. Fantastic.
But it's in the budget reconciliation process. The latest news we got is on September the 15th, two House committees, the House Committee on Ways and Means and the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, advanced portions of that reconciliation bill without removing abortion funding provisions or including the Hyde Amendment to prohibit taxpayer funding of abortion.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there's some good news there, potentially.
So hopefully the Senate is able to hold out. I mean, it's really a 1-2 vote margin at
exactly.
best.
Exactly. And, of course, another hot topic recently has been Texas's heartbeat law that they passed down there. Massive backlash led by Planned Parenthood and their usual pro-abortion suspects in Congress and also the media. They are screaming from the rooftops that it's the precursor to Roe v. Wade. Well, duh. Let's hope it is. In fact, many states are looking at it, Mark, as you know, as being potentially a blueprint for them to use. Now, we had our own heartbeat bill about 8 or 9 years ago here in Ohio that was overturned. It was unconstitutional. In fact, I worked on that with some folks, the organizers. But sadly, that was overturned. What do you think about the chances of maybe Ohio using that as a blueprint here?
Well, I think there's always a chance of that. I think the experience in Texas is interesting. As you know, the Supreme Court did not hear an initial case that would have tried to invalidate that piece of legislation initially. So that was a sign, perhaps, that a legislation like that could be effective.
Especially with the new makeup of the court the past couple of years.
Absolutely.
You'd like to think.
I think, you know, there is in Ohio, and maybe you've, we're going to speak about this one as well. There's something called the Human Life Protection Act.
Mm-hmm.
And the Human Life Protection Act, actually, there was sponsored testimony on it yesterday, which would have been, if I get my dates correct, September 29th. And in that particular bill. That's what they call a trigger bill. So if Roe versus Wade were to be overturned by the Supreme Court, that does not automatically make all abortions illegal in the United States.
Exactly.
It simply pushes to the states the ability to make their own decisions on that. And this bill, if Roe versus Wade were overturned, would actually make abortion illegal in Ohio, except in the case of, you know, the life of the mother.
Right. Yeah, that's a widely held misconception that if Roe v. Wade were to be overturned, it would do that nationally. No, it just sends it back to the states, like you said. So that's wonderful that that's in motion. Now, lastly, there's what they call the so-called Women's Health Protection Act in D.C. It was just voted on and approved by U.S. House Democrats, H.R. 3755. This is shocking, Mark. I mean, this wipes clean pretty much all existing pro-life laws. It's a giant eraser to pro-life provisions and protections. For instance, they would impose abortion on demand nationwide, and that's at any stage of pregnancy, through a federal statute. So this is codifying, essentially, Roe v. Wade. It would eliminate these pro-life laws I was just alluding to. That would even include, shockingly, parental notification for minor girls, informed consent, ultrasound requirements, on and on and on. And it would compel all Americans to support abortions, not only here in the U.S., but even internationally with their tax dollars.
Exactly.
It would force healthcare providers to perform, assist in, or refer for abortion against their deeply held beliefs. Like I said, this is just shocking. About as extreme could be, Mark. You think this has any chance of ever making it through Congress to the president's desk, where you know it would be rubber stamped quickly?
It's the same issue as that we have, you know, really with the Hyde Amendment legislation. So we're down to one or two votes, and we have to hope that that our side holds. We actually sent out an action alert just on this bill right before that vote took place. The vote that actually passed that bill was in the House was on September 24th. And the USCCB is advocating very hard on that. And we're asking people still to get a hold of their senators and to make the point that this bill is a terrible bill and needs to be opposed.
Absolutely. Lots of prayer. You're listening to Life Perspectives on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, streaming live also, stgabrielradio.com. And we delve into these critical life issues every month with pro-life experts like my guest today, Mark Huddy from the Diocese of Columbus. He's the Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns. Welcome again, Mark.
Thank you, Gary.
So let's touch on briefly, really, my main topic, the fact that we're into Respect Life Month. Every first Sunday is Respect Life Sunday. Of course, this whole program is put out there by the USCCB Secretariat of Pro-Life Activities, and they provide materials to dioceses, parishes, individuals to help Catholics understand and value the gift of human life and how to build a proper culture that cherishes and protects that. So share with us, if you would, Mark, just what the program this year entails and how it's being implemented here in the Columbus Diocese.
Sure. You know, one of the things this year, this is, of course, the year of St. Joseph, and so the focus is really on St. Joseph. And Archbishop Nauman of Kansas City actually started off his letter for this year's program reminding us that St. Joseph loved Jesus with a father's heart, and so, and that St. Joseph was a defender of life for the Holy Family. And so that focus on St. Joseph and asking for St. Joseph's intercession and asking that we would all have that same heart that St. Joseph had in defending life, I think is a great way to start. Now, since my early days with the diocese, much of the materials have gone digital. So this is great. So there are bulletin boxes that can be adapted for parish bulletins on the website. And that website is www.respectlife.org. So there's bulletin boxes, bulletin inserts, full page, two page bulletin inserts that can be used. There's action guides, and action guides not only for Respect Life Month, but for feasts that come up after October. So for January 22nd,
sure,
for Mother's Day, for Father's Day. So those action guides are available. There are homily helps that are available. All of these things are on the website. And so we encourage parishes to really make the use of these materials. It's always been our instruction to parishes that, and really this comes really from a statement by the bishops many years ago, but our focus should be in four areas. We need to pray, we need to educate, we need to serve, and we need to advocate. So we encourage parishes to, during this month of October, pray in a special way for the unborn and for life from conception to natural death in every circumstance. We encourage them to use materials produced by the U.S. Bishops Conference, and they can get those materials on that website I mm-hmm. mentioned, mm-hmm. And they can educate their congregation and other members in the parish. We encourage them to serve. Last year, the bishops started a program called Walking with Moms. And it was a program designed to encourage every parish to try to help women who were pregnant and who needed assistance. I think a lot of times our parishes aren't seen as a first place to go. And what the bishops were hoping would happen is that parishes don't have to create new things. They just have to be able to link pregnant women to the resources that can help them in various situations. So every parish really should develop that resource connection for people who come to them with need. And then lastly, you know, our advocacy work, and we just talked about two or three areas where that advocacy is really needed. So those four principles are the ones that we promote in our Respect Life mm-hmm. program. Pray, educate, serve, and advocate.
Great. Anything new about this year's program?
You know, again, I think just they've gotten better and better at giving us our resources digitally. So
it does make such a difference.
That's a great thing.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, I remember getting these huge, thick folders full of paper over the years, and now it's all digital, so that makes a big difference.
We also have a new pro-life venerable, not a saint yet, but on the road to sainthood, a woman by the name of Maria Cristina Cella Machelin, who was made venerable by Pope Francis on August 30th. She had two children, and in her third pregnancy, she was identified as having a sarcoma in her leg, which she refused to have chemotherapy for because of the potential harm that could do to the baby. So she delivered a child, and then after the child was delivered, went to look into the chemotherapy, and by that time the sarcoma had advanced to her lungs, and she died. But she died giving her life for her child. And so, again, she was made venerable on August 30th by Pope Francis, and someone that can be an advocate for us in the pro-life movement.
Wonderful. And also, you probably knew about this, but the Knights of Columbus and their strong pro-life commitment, our founder, Father Michael McGivney, was beatified 1 year ago. Well, not quite a year ago, October 30th of a year ago. And the miracle that the Vatican approved for him involved a general agent with the Knights of Columbus. His wife was pregnant with a child who had Down syndrome, but also another condition called fetal high drops, which is always terminal. The child never survives that. They took a Knights of Columbus trip, annual trip to Fatima. They prayed to Michael, Father McGivney, for his intercession. Soon after, when they came back, they did the ultrasound exam. The disease was gone.
Totally. That's wonderful.
And that was fast-tracked through the Vatican. So he, if he's canonized, we get the second miracle, strong pro-lifer, but he'll be our first American-born clergyman saint. So we got two of them to talk about there.
That's fantastic.
Just wanted to share that. As a longtime brother Knight of Columbus, I wanted to make sure that people knew about that, because we're proud as punch that he's on his way to sainthood. Mark, just a couple more things here as time begins to draw short. The USCCB, which we did allude to earlier, does have an action center where people can sign up for these email alerts, similar to what you offer at the diocese. If they want to contact their elected officials to try to stop this so-called Women's Health Protection Act, or protest the dropping of the Hyde Amendment, things like this. Now, that URL, I guess, votervoice.net/USCCB/home. Now, one more time, because this is long. votervoice.net/USCCB/home. Do you find that is in your diocesan version effective in changing the hearts and minds of politicians, Mark?
Well, people are still counting their constituents' opinions. So, you know, if you call or if you send an email, someone in the office of your congressional representative has got a little sheet and is doing a tally of, are people pro or are they against that piece of legislation? So I think it is important. And it would be more effective if more people would use it.
Right.
I think the thing that should be done is it would be good for people to follow up. So, yes, absolutely use the email system. Send that email.
Right.
Then follow up with a phone call and make your voice heard that way. I think if that were done, we could be much more effective. And it's about numbers, too. So,
exactly. Thank you. You've been listening to Life Perspectives, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, where we spotlight the missions, challenges, and victories of pro-life organizations here in Central Ohio and beyond. And we cover the entire spectrum of life issues from conception all the way to natural death. Today, we've been privileged to have Mr. Mark Huddy, Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns at the Diocese of Columbus. Mark, again, we're so grateful for you taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us here today, talk about Respect Life Month and other issues of concern. Thank you so much, sir. We hope to have you back in the future.
Thank you, Gary. It's been a pleasure to be here.
I'm your host, Gary Anderson, inviting you to join us again next month for Life Perspectives here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Thanks for joining us. May God richly bless you and yours.
God, who by